As the phone hacking scandal seems to grow and grow, so the reputation of the press's self-regulatory body that might have been expected to deal with it shrinks and shrinks. In a Comres poll this week, 67% of those asked said that the press should not continue to regulate itself. Alan Rusbridger, who you heard there a moment ago, has been vocal in his criticism, saying the phone hacking scandal left the PCC looking worse than useless and, as you heard, in an unsustainable position. And earlier this week, Financial Times editor Lionel Barber weighed in, saying that the PCC had turned a blind eye to phone hacking, showing itself to be supine at best.
In the last resort, failure to clean house at all news organisations would leave the mainstream media in Britain at risk of retribution in the form of statutory regulation.
Lionel Barber of the FT. Well, Baroness Peter Buscombe is chair of the Press Complaints Commission, and she's here now. Many thanks indeed for coming.
That's my pleasure. Hello.
The Comres poll, 67% say no to self-regulation. Now, you set out, and when we talked about this some time ago, your mission was to try and persuade the public that you were a body in whom they could have confidence. This doesn't say that.
Let me first of all be absolutely clear about this. What is really important is that we mustn't see all the work of the PCC through the prism of phone hacking. OK, I think that's very important because the PCC do a lot of positive stuff and works extremely well as a public service. Secondly, we have polling which shows that in the opinion of 75% of people who were most recently polled, they thought the PCC was either effective or very effective. But if you're asking somebody, should the press regulate itself? Of course, the answer is going to be no. And my answer to that is no. The press, in the first instance, in their news organisations, yes, of course they should do all they can in their power to ensure good, proper practices, and they behave according to the law and also to the PCC code of practice. But the reality is the PCC is an independent regulator of the press.
Owned by the press.
It's not owned by the press. It's funded by the press, but it is not controlled by the press. And that is a very, very important distinction that needs to be made clear. The other thing that I think is important to make clear is that phone hacking is a criminal offence, and the Commission has been consistent in its condemnation of it.
Okay.
It's also been consistently clear that it's not the role of the PCC, or indeed within its powers, to duplicate the investigations of the police or to establish criminality. Its role is to work to raise standards in the industry.
OK, well, let's take that, if we may. You said in your 2009 report, having looked into what had happened previously, that you said you had not been materially misled.
Now, that's to our best of our ability and belief.
Colin Myler, the editor of the News of the World, the newly installed editor of the News of the World, said that he conducted a rigorous inquiry that involved looking at a whole email trail of 2,500 emails. Now, with what we now know, do you believe that that statement, the one that you made, that you had not been materially misled, is correct?
Let me put it this way. We are deeply concerned and we've remained totally concerned about
this. Do you think that statement was correct?
Since 2009. What I want to do now is make it very clear that 2 weeks ago we decided to set up a committee which has on it an ex-chief of police for Cambridgeshire and also a media expert, a professor of law at Queen Mary's College in media law.
Forgive me for interrupting you.
No, but this is really important.
I don't want to prejudge.
No, I do not. What I want to say
I'm
is...
I'm not asking you to prejudge. I'm asking you to make a judgment about what we now know is true. It is plainly not just one reporter at the News of the World. It may well go beyond the News of the World. In fairness, I should say that they deny much of what has been said and they're engaging in a major investigation of their own. But nevertheless, it is pretty clear, all taken in the round, that what you were told at that time was not, maybe not intentionally, you were in effect misled.
I don't want to get caught into any traps now about the degree to which or if we were misled at the time.
Well, it's not a trap. The fact is we now know much more than you knew at the time.
We do, in the sense that there are a lot of new allegations and there are a lot of revelations.
Were you fully informed?
It sounds now as if we weren't fully informed, but the truth is we have to be incredibly careful, and I'm saying that to you, Steve, now, wearing my hat as a lawyer as well. We cannot act in any way that's going to cut across a criminal investigation. We're so pleased that the police are now saying that they're going to not leave any stones unturned in terms of investigating this really serious matter, okay. because it goes to the heart of the ethics of journalism, and it brings journalism into shame, which needs to be sorted.
We'll come back to what the PCC is and isn't capable of doing, but just on this point about the attitude that the PCC appeared to take, sort of...
it's not an attitude. We had to work with the evidence.
Okay, but in your,
that we
in your
had at the
2009
time.
Report.
That's what's very important. We had to work with the evidence, okay, not on allegations or suppositions.
If you had said, look, we're simply not capable of delving into this in the way that people may want us or expect us to even, but this is as far as we can go, that may be one thing. But you went rather further. You said of the Guardian's reports that having reviewed the matter, the Commission could not help but conclude that the Guardian stories did not quite live up to the dramatic billing they were initially given, and you went on to caution the Guardian that it too had, I quote, obligations under the code, requiring it to take care not to publish distorted or misleading information. Now, you can say we didn't know, that's one thing, but to go this far, to criticise the people who it now turns out were substantially correct, that's pretty poor.
Well, what I have to say is... we have now set up a committee of really intelligent experts to look at, review everything that we've done at the PCC, both
but
in 2007
but you said all this
and
stuff
2009.
In the face of, you said all this when you had,
but,
by your
but,
own admission,
but
no capacity
again,
to investigate and insufficient information. The problem here is it makes it look to the general public as if... When Lionel Barber says that the PCC turned a blind eye to this...
But that's absolutely not true.
And that the press has not...
There's
really,
no question
it
that
It makes
the
you
PCC,
look complicit is the problem here.
Well, there is absolutely no question of being complicit. We are robustly and fiercely independent as regulator, but we have to act on evidence. Evidence that could be substantiated. We were in a similar position in that sense to the Media Select Committee, who, you know, were rigorous in their approach to this whole affair... but no new evidence was found at the
but
time.
But came to the conclusion that News International executives had suffered collective amnesia. You didn't say that.
But...
I mean, their response to not getting straight answers was to say, hang on a minute, collective amnesia. Your response is to say, oh, well, no new evidence, will go along with what they say.
We have to be extremely responsible. And remember I said that to you last time I was on this programme. We have to be extremely robust and responsible about what we do. We are the regulator. We're not a commentator. It's very important for us to work with care. And that is why we're interested in the here and now. We're interested in looking at what has happened thus far, what lessons can be learned across the whole of this sector. It's terribly important for the future freedom of the press, which is at the heart of this, is absolutely at the heart of this and really important.
In terms of acting, we'll come to what happens in the future in a moment. In terms of acting responsibly, you personally in a speech to the Society of Editors, questioned what a lawyer had said to the Select Committee in terms of how many ostensible victims there were. And you went on to say, having questioned what he'd said, that you'd spoken to the chairman of the Select Committee to draw his attention to this.
I didn't question what he said, actually.
You said any suggestion that a parliamentary inquiry has been misled is, of course, an extremely serious matter. Subsequently, he sued, and you were forced into court to apologise at the end
of
the libel
action. No, I wasn't. I was never forced into court to apologise.
Did you pay damages?
No, there was absolutely no question of apologising. This was
all
about... I'm not prepared to talk about that on air. I will tell you this, that what happened at the time was there was absolutely no intention to impugn anyone's reputation, whose name wasn't even mentioned at the time. But we clarified the situation.
You said in the speech, this letter, you'd received a letter, that the lawyer, I should say for the audience, the lawyer had said that he knew that a policeman had told him that the number of victims was in the thousands, possibly 6,000.
But you're focusing
You said to the SOE, this letter that you'd received has, in fact, he said he'd been wrongly quoted. The reliable evidence, you said, the reliable evidence we were told in an email confirming the contents of the letter is that given by Assistant Commissioner John Yates to the Select Committee, who referred to only a handful of people being potential victims. Now, in that case, first of all, you sided with the police rather than the lawyer.
That's not true.
He sued you and you were forced to court to clarify.
I wasn't forced to court at all. What was happening was I felt being responsible at the time in terms of ensuring to the best of our ability and belief that we were working on evidence that we had been given. The truth is that as I made a statement which I thought was absolutely the right thing to do at the time,
Which turned out to be wrong.
Which turned out, it's we don't know yet whether it's wrong. We have no idea, and that is why we've had to be so careful
which is why people will criticise you for taking one side rather than the other.
No, there's no question of us taking any sides here. That's the most important thing about this. We are fiercely independent when it comes to this whole issue, and indeed every issue. There's no advantage to be had with a regulator being seen to be taking sides. It's actually about being responsible. And I immediately clarified at the time that there was no intention to impugn any individual's reputation. We have all along been very clear in seeking to clarify the situation.
You've also been fairly, very clear at various times about how people may expect you to have powers that you don't have, and so on and so on and so on.
Which is very important about all this. Let me just get to this, if I may. That's what's important.
We'll come to that in just a second, because this is about the future now.
Yeah.
Your code says that things like phone hacking shouldn't happen. It's very clear
about
that. Yet you've said in terms more or less that you don't have the capacity to investigate that, or indeed you have no sanctions to issue in the event you find out it's true.
What we have to be very clear about here is we're talking about criminal activity.
It may or may not be criminal. The police have defined some phone hacking as criminal, and they've said lots of phone hacking isn't criminal. So as to what's criminal, someone else will decide. But the point is, it's misbehaviour, whether it's criminal or not, in your terms.
Absolutely.
Yet you have no capacity to investigate it. You can't subpoena witnesses. If they don't choose to talk to you, they don't talk to you.
But what you have to understand, and this is what's been quite frustrating for us, is to get this message across that as soon as something has any sense that there might be criminal activity, that is where we have to be extremely careful and pass any information that we might have over to the police. This is something where we're constantly training journalists, talking to journalists, and therefore, if we're in receipt of a complaint about phone hacking, for example, I mean, we were in receipt of one last year.
But you might understand why the public might feel slightly misled here. By what the PCC appears to be, on one hand.
Well, maybe
you should be rebranded as a mediator.
No, that's not true at all. We're far more than a mediator. I think it's really important that I have an opportunity to say here that the PCC performs a really, really important public service in terms of protecting the privacy of individuals. We actually stop.
Well, unless somebody happens to be hacking their phone.
No, that's not true. We actually stop. We prevent a huge amount of harm and hurt ever being published. We have a strong publication service, which actually some broadcasters even use. We send out 2 or 3 desist notices on a weekly basis to newspapers saying, please don't print, and they don't.
Is there a case for a strong presence
in terms of preventing harassment, dealing with people's bereavement. We're out there to help the general public. That is our role.
That is our priority,
and that is where we feel there's a very strong responsibility. And that's why I'm saying, please do not see the whole of the situation in terms of the PCC just through the prism of phone hacking. Phone hacking is very serious, and we take it seriously, that's why we have this review.
You heard Lionel Barber and others have talked about the threat of external regulation.
Yeah, which is...
Do you see any purpose, perhaps, in some form of statutory underpinning? Do you think that the PCC in its current form is sustainable?
I am very concerned, and that's why I've set up this review, for us to look at all the issues, and none of this should be prejudged. The reality is that we have a very important service that we provide on a day-to-day basis. We have in our own polling very positive feedback from those who use us on a daily basis. In fact, we're just coping with over 3,000 applications at the moment for 3 positions of lay commissioners to sit on our commission. We only have a few seconds left.
Yeah. I take your point that you do think it is sustainable.
Is your position sustainable? My position, I hope, I feel strongly, is sustainable. I want to show that I can do all in my power to ensure that those who are not behaving in the right way are brought to book. But the trouble is, when it's a criminal allegations here, we have to stand beside.
OK. Peter Buscombe, many thanks indeed for joining us.